All right, people, it's Memorial Day weekend, and that means barbecues and road trips and listening to podcasts in your car, and you should be listening to this one. And if you're spending time in your car this weekend, you probably have a couple bottles of water in your car, and those bottles of water, they're the subject of today's podcast. A couple of weeks ago, I bought one of those big jugs of water with the pull-out nozzles, and I bought a couple of them, and I went through one during the course of the week, and I was trying to figure out how to throw this thing out or recycle it, because it was so big it didn't fit in the recycling can. And I was reminded of an article or some kind of web documentary that I had seen about what happens when companies come into a town, set up a water distribution center, take the water and sell it across the world. The water doesn't make its way back into the local environment's water table. And that got me thinking about the entire supply chain of bottled water. And I thought it would be an interesting topic for Memorial Day weekend, for those of us that are in cars and doing road trips. So let's get to it. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is SourceCast episode 121. I think you know where I'm going with this one. Yes. I'm going to say that bottling water is probably not the best thing from an environmental perspective, but there are a couple of reasons why. According to HydrateLife.com, the main reason that bottled water is bad for the water system is because of something called water mining, and it's exactly what you think it is. It's when a company comes into a town, drills for clean groundwater, and then they leave when the water's all gone. To give you a more official definition, the state of California defines groundwater mining as the process, deliberate or inadvertent, of extracting groundwater from a source at a rate in excess of the replenishment rate such that the groundwater level declines persistently, threatening exhaustion of the supply or at least a decline of pumping levels to uneconomic depths. So in addition to the water leaving a particular local environment, one of the other problems is when these mining companies come into a town and access the spring, they're pulling the water out so fast that all of the other people accessing the water, they may have to drill deeper and deeper to get access to water that is on their property because the overall water table is declining. There's another potential issue with depleting the groundwater, and that is if a bottled water plant is anywhere near a body of salt water. And what can happen is that overpumping can lead to saline water. And again, this is according to HydroLife.com. In its natural state, there is a balance between freshwater and salt water that keeps the salt water at bay. However, once the freshwater levels start to decline, the balance shifts and the salt water heads in to fill the gaps. So now that we're aware of what the problem is, there is one company that seems to be the primary perpetrator of some of these water extraction issues with little towns, and that company is Nestlé. You know, the people who make your hot chocolate. Here's a little bit of background on Nestlé. The company started bottling water in 1843, when the company founder, Henry Nestlé, purchased a business on Switzerland's Monterice Canal. Apparently, Nestlé analyzed and experimented with the enrichment of water with a variety of minerals, with the goal of providing healthy, accessible, and delicious refreshment. Doesn't that sound like the most beautiful PR line ever? Some Swiss guy with a little bit of chocolate bar in his pocket, rummaging through the streams of Switzerland. Yodeling the whole time. Finding refreshing, enriching water to help you remain healthy. And of course, all of that was courtesy of Nestle's website. There's an article from Bloomberg.com called Nestlé Makes Billions Bottling Water It Pays Nothing For by Carolyn Winter. That article details present state Nestlé. And I quote, "Today, there are thousands of bottled water companies worldwide. But Nestlé is the biggest globally in terms of sales, followed by Coca-Cola and PepsiCo. Nestlé Waters, which is a Paris-based subsidiary, owns almost 50 brands, including Perrier, Pellegrino, and Poland Spring. In 2016, U.S. bottled water sales reached $16 billion, up 10% from 2015, according to the Beverage Marketing Corporation. Bottled water outpaced soda sales for the first time as drinkers continue to seek convenience and healthier options, and they worry about the safety of tap water. And that, of course, brings up thoughts of Flint, Michigan, and their lead-poisoned tap system. Nestlé has a water bottling plant in Michigan, about 2 hours away from Flint, And out of Nestle's $7.7 billion worldwide sales, it is estimated that $343 million of those sales came from Michigan water. Michigan is not the only town where Nestle gets water from in the United States. There are several natural springs in the United States that Nestle has contracted with, much to the dismay of local residents. And when Nestle encounters resistance from local residents, they have a tendency of deploying their lawyers. And according to the Bloomberg article, and I quote, "It can push the limits of that hospitality, sometimes with the acquiescence of state and local governments that are too cash-strapped or inept to say no." And let's focus on the inept part for a second. In Michigan, Nestle is only paying $200 to access the local water. According to the Natural Resources Defense Council, 77 million Americans are served by water systems that violate testing requirements or rules about contamination in drinking water. In farming and agriculture-heavy regions, pesticides, fertilizers, and nitrates from animal waste leach into the ground. Despite the Safe Drinking Water Act of 1974, compliance with these rules is not monitored very well. And most of these wastewater treatment systems aren't designed to remove hormones, antidepressants, and other drugs that are leaching into the water system. This podcast is not about Trump or any of the Trump administration, but I do want to make note that the Trump administration's Environmental Protection Agency is also attempting to roll back existing regulations. But it doesn't mean that bottled water is more pure than tap. In fact, Coca-Cola's brand Dasani is just filtered tap water, which some environmentalists actually say is better because they're going through the existing infrastructure. Nestle, on the other hand, still seeks out natural springs and develops their own water extraction systems. We tend to think of water as an unlimited resource. If you look at pictures of planet Earth, it is a very pretty blue planet filled with water that is mostly undrinkable because it is salt water. There are many environmentalists that have been predicting water scarcity for years. The droughts in California over the last few years have been called out as precursors to what the United States and the rest of the world could be facing in the future. The United Nations expects that 1.8 billion people will live in places with dire water shortages by 2025. And two-thirds of the world's population could be living under stressed water conditions. Supply in the United States can be compromised as well. Going back to Michigan, a recent Michigan State University study predicted that more than a third of Americans might not be able to afford their water bills in 5 years, and costs are expected to triple as World War II-era construction breaks down. And if you think that sounds horrific, this is already happening in other countries. Failing infrastructure has already led to an almost total reliance on bottled water in parts of the world. I've seen documentaries where Coca-Cola is undercutting the local water production and making their products, specifically Coca-Cola, and now their bottled water, cheaper and more easily accessible than the water in their villages. There's also been a marketing strategy by the water bottling companies for the last 25 or 30 years that promotes the bottled water as cleaner and potentially healthier, even though in many cases that's not true. And also in many cases, they're drinking tap water in the bottles, which is the same quality of water, and in some cases, the tap water that they have access to locally is of better quality. I do want to be fair and say that most of the water resource issues are generally not tied to the production of bottled water. For example, in Michigan, it accounts for less than 1% of total water usage. Most of the water consumption goes to agriculture and energy production. But the bottled water industry is the poster boy for water leaving a state or a community, and it pisses off a lot of people because this water is being used by private companies to make money, and it's not going back into the community. On top of these other issues, there's the problem of pollution. These bottles that the water goes into, they're all ending up in landfills. And even if you think they're getting recycled, there's this whole process where the bottles end up going to other countries to get quote-unquote processed, and they're broken down. But most of the pieces of the bottles end up in landfills in countries like India and China. And speaking of China, as we're concerned about the welfare of the environment and trash getting dumped into our oceans, China has eclipsed the United States as the largest consumer of bottled water, again according to Bloomberg. And I quote, "Chinese demand for plastic-based resin used in bottles is forecasted to match that of North America and Western Europe combined within the next 5 years. With worldwide sales of bottled water rising to $191 billion last year, according to Euromonitor, and U.S. consumption exceeding carbonated soft drinks for the first time, There's plenty at stake for not only beverage companies, but also petrochemical producers, packaging companies, and environmentalists who have linked human health problems to chemicals that leach from plastic containers. So in addition to water leaving local water tables and groundwater issues and the pollution from the bottles ending up in landfills, there's the problem that these plastic bottles are leaching chemicals into the water. I happen to remember that Sheryl Crow, who had battled cancer a few years ago, attributed that cancer, and again, she's not a doctor, but she attributed her cancer to drinking bottles of water that she had left in her car that got hot. So am I bumming you out on your road trip? Are you looking at that bottle of water that's sitting in your cup holder right now and wondering if you should toss it out the window? Don't do that. That's littering. It's a little bit insidious about how easy it is to get a bottle of water just about anywhere in the United States. In fact, it's so much easier than accessing a public fountain, a water fountain, not like a decorative fountain, or some other place to get water. Places like New York City used to have public drinking water fountains. They were a part of the culture and the architecture of the cities, and they're all slowly getting removed due to the aforementioned infrastructure issues that a lot of cities are facing. They're not investing the time and money into making these fountains not only operational, but also beautiful. The bottled water companies also did an excellent job over the last 30 years at making people think that bottled water is healthier and that tap water is inherently unclean or potentially polluted. The headlines coming from Flint, Michigan certainly isn't doing much to calm the fears down that the water infrastructure is safe. Personally, a few years ago, we started eliminating even the reusable water bottles made of plastic in the house and went with stainless steel and aluminum solutions. But over the last year, my wife and I have been drinking quite a bit of seltzer water. And actually, we've been switching from cans to the bigger 2-liter bottles, which is in plastic. So I have been a huge offender, even though I've been fairly knowledgeable about the situation. And those seltzer water bottles, they go right into the recycling, and they're probably getting shredded and ending up in a dumpster, either here in the United States or maybe in India. So if you have a chance this weekend, if you find yourself in a drugstore, pick yourself up a nice aluminum bottle. Hopefully there's a place that you can fill it up and keep yourself nice and hydrated as you're hitting the beach or going to a barbecue. And whatever it is that you're doing, I hope you're having fun and I hope you're being safe. Be good, people.
And that's all we have for this week. You can find Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mandarin, New Jersey, and it's produced by my dad. The outro is performed by me, Ben Lombardi, and music is provided by Patrick Lee. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.